Hello and welcome to Forgotten Fantasy, a podcast where we showcase J.G. Mitchell's short stories and novels. Today we are going to start the first book in the Tales of Tangshi series called Emperor Blood, and this is the first chapter. Jane, would you like to talk a little bit about what inspired you to write this book and a little bit about it, please?
The first book I ever wrote, and it was inspired when I had pneumonia and I was stuck in bed and I had to stay in bed, and I was reading a whole lot of books. I read Anne Rice, who was very good, but there were some other books that weren't so good, and as is usual for me, I thought, oh, maybe I could write a book. So I did, and these books have been a long time coming, a long time revised. When I was in politics and I was writing this book, sometimes if things really irritated me at the school board, I would come home and kill a few people, and make me feel a lot better. So this book has a lot more violence and a bit of sex, but you don't get that for quite a while. So, and here we go. Emperor Blood, Book 1, The Tales of Tangshi. The sun turned black as a funeral pall, and the moon all red as blood. The stars in the sky fell to the earth. Revelation 6:12. Part 1. For they have shed the blood of your saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve. Revelation 16:6. Chapter 1. The blood moons rose, Anyos and Phoebos riding together. Blood light tinted the Leto crystals at the bottom of the crater. Tangshi watched the round silver shuttlecraft with the indecipherable markings settle on the scattered crystals. The whirring engines cut into the silence. Humans! How dare they land on his planet without his permission? He ducked behind a huge rock of gold quartz, one in a row at the side of the basin. A cold wind rushed over him and he shivered in the flimsy cotton death shroud. He wished for his warm padded robes, turned to call out to Hero, and realized he was alone and unprotected. His stasis gas-jumbled mind searched for the reason, but found nothing. Tangshi flattened his cold face against the stone's warm, soft smoothness and begged its kami to protect him and keep him unseen. The shuttle sat like a beetle, hunched and waiting. A door hissed open. Two humans exited the ship and scanned the crater. One was a woman. The trade delegation had not included women, and Tangshi had wondered how they reproduced. Apparently, human women existed. The human voices echoed as they covered their vessels with a beige camouflage. The fertile blood moon scent of the woman, so indescribably different, wafted over the gritty sand. Tanchi's hands shook. He hungered, and desert thirst dried his mouth. The wind brought his wife's tender fragrance. He stiffened. Where was Cuckoo Ye? What had they done to her? Did they keep her on the shuttle? He heard the faint clank of chains against wood and strained to see around the hill of crystals in the middle of the crater. Had they tied her up on the other side of this forsaken place? Who would hear her cries? The male human sprinted off over the sand. Tangshi heard the harsh unknown language, more clanging of chains. What did he do to her? Tangshi crouched, ready to attack. The human female pulled out her laser. He stayed hidden and watched, a frustrated, weaponless coward. The man came back into view, escorting Kukuya unharmed and unchained, her pregnancy swelling her blue velvet robe. The three of them walked to the ship, entered it, and closed the door. Tangshi slipped under the ship's camouflage and leaned against the door, concentrating and feeling for a way in. Smooth, no latch, no automated entry. He curled up under a loosely tied section of the awning and waited. The hiss of the door. Tangshi squinted out from his dark place under the cover. Bright light. Soon the killing southern sun would rise. He must find a safer spot. The humans walked off to the other side of the crystal hill. This time the shuttle door opened easily at his touch. They must have activated it in some way. Tangshi entered a metallic caravan, utilitarian and cold. No bright hangings or pillows, no happy knick-knacks of the gods and goddesses. At one end rested a folded-up counter with storage bins and several closets. Then came a tiny galley with a coffee pot and a pan of their foul, dead food. A folded back door revealed a cockpit. His eyes fell on Kukea, sleeping on her back on a high gray couch. Her hair flowed like a black river. Her lips were like drops of blood, her skin as white as a drift of lily blossoms. A little ripple stirred in the swelling under her robe. "Do you know I'm here, little one?" Tanchi whispered. "Are you greeting me?" He knelt beside Kukui'e, full of love. He would rescue her. They would be one forever. No one would separate them again. He bowed down to bite her neck. The camouflage rattled and scraped over the ship. The humans returned. Tanchi jumped up and scanned the room. He slammed into a closet and closed the door, squeezed and almost smothered by a clumsy spacesuit. The humans clumped in. Their words grated at his ears. Bags banged on the floor. Pots and knobs rattled. He froze as other closets and drawers slammed open and closed. His hiding place remained secure. "Please, it's very bright in here. It hurts my eyes. Are you leaving now? Where are you taking me?" Kukui'e asked. The male answered roughly. Tanchi heard the whirl of an engine. "You will not have her," he shouted and jumped from the closet. The human woman turned from the hot plate. Tanchi snarled, grabbed, and whirled her towards him. He pinned her in his arms and forced her to look into his hypnotic eyes. The woman swooned, her head rolling back and exposing her throat. Tanchi hissed and sank his fangs into her neck. He sucked her blood and her life. His long black hair smothered her face like a shroud. Kukui'e screamed. The male yelled. A blast from a laser hurled Tanchi against the bulkhead. Tanchi shrieked. His head and back and lungs burned. He slid down, down, in a smear of blood and ashes to the floor. The woman had fallen too. Her blood, with a delicious taste and smell, pumped from her neck, forming a pool. A tiny red sliver of life oozed down the floor to him. He stretched out a hand to taste, touch, drink, and live. Kukui'e shouted, "No, no!" Tanchi murmured to her, "We couldn't find you in the dark." She slumped down beside him and hugged him, pulling his head to rest on her knees. Tanchi looked up at her. Blood and ashes covered her gown. She stroked his hair. He liked when she did that. Her tears fell on his face. "Tanchi, Tanchi," she keened. Her little white fangs gleamed. He moaned with the pain. His breathing slowed. His head sagged back over her arm. As the dark claimed him, Tanchi saw the human woman as if through an upside-down tunnel. She lay dead and still as marble. Cold, unbearable dead cold. Tanchi's hands and feet tingled with it. His body shuddered with it. The blood thinning and rushing through his veins again could not warm him. He gasped. Ice pain seared his lungs. His mind was confused and jumbled by the lingering stasis and the cold. His eyes flicked open. Utter darkness. The desert had only been a vivid dream. He remained trapped in the mausoleum, buried awake by his own guards, the traitors from Clan Nu, the father and grandfather had convinced him to trust. A light shone in the darkness, reflecting off gray ceiling panels. Tanchi sat up and noticed he was on a gurney. He rubbed his stiff face. His lungs and back felt tight. The light shafted through a small window in a solid steel door. It showed him shelves packed with jars and the stiff corpses of creatures familiar and alien. Hope soared that they might have moved him, for some unknown reason, to an animal room, and he could feed and calm the blood madness that gnawed at him. Another glance around the room killed the hope. Though not the urns he had pulled down on himself in the dark of the crypt, everything had died long ago. Tanchi hugged himself and rubbed his arms. His breath puffed into the light. His shoulder ached. He pulled open the drawstring that gathered the shroud at his neck, someone's idea of a morbid joke putting that on him. He examined his scabbed, burnt shoulder. It healed faster than normal. Dried blood and ashes caked his death robe. He poked a finger through the tattered burn hole. He remembered the huge flashes of light from the traitor's lasers and the rest of his bodyguards fluttering into ashes. He shuddered. Sound clinked in the room beyond. Tanchi looked at the bright square of light and hoped. Maybe someone came to rescue him. He slid off the gurney. His bare feet shrank against the cold of the floor. He shuffled to the door and pushed against it. It refused to budge. He thought about pounding, then noticed an odd-shaped handle. To his surprise, it pulled down with a satisfying click. He eased open the door. His squinting eyes adjusted to the dazzling glare of the room. A beautiful woman dressed in an odd overall stood at a metal table. As she picked up and examined a jar filled with bits and pieces of creatures, her loose hair fell over her face like a spray of gold. Thirst and madness overwhelmed. Tanchi stepped out into the room, smiled, touched his head, heart and throat in a salaam, then spoke the only human words he knew. "We wish to greet our visitors from the stars." The woman glanced up. She screamed and dropped the jar. It smashed on the floor. A sharp smell of formaldehyde and rot smothered the room. Tanchi glided towards her with his arm outstretched in the human greeting. She backed up against the table. He hypnotized. She swooned and he caught her in an embrace. Tanchi gently brushed the soft gold hair away from her pure white neck. He sank his fangs and sucked. All pain, all humiliation, all despair vanished. Nothing mattered but the warming, soothing, thirst-quenching blood. The human gave him everything he ever wanted. Voices, alien and Menendek, strange and familiar, murmured in the hall beyond. He ignored them. "No, I've never fed on humans, only bad people and animals," Paladin Yorba of Clan Curran said. "No humans on Menendek. Civilians feed on animals." The commander of the military arrived. He was saved. A man spoke in the human tongue, then a woman spoke. The male voice, with a heavy accent, said, "The captain is not reassured." A door slid back. Tanchi glanced up from the prey. Kukuya, Yorba, and Herod and two soldiers stood in the doorway, and Herod carried a folded blanket. They salaamed, touching head, heart, and throat. "We greet you, esteemed Excellency, Kuwang Tanchi," the group kowtowed. A human woman with gray hair and human soldiers crowded behind them. Reimer, their rude, stinking ambassador, stood among them. The human's polite features changed to shock and horror. "How fortunate, Paladin, that unlike this ship's heretical, godless humans who steal what they want," Reimer glanced at the ship's captain, "we trade for Leto. I thank God this Kuwang turned me away, and our treaty is with your new government. My people never agree to trade with a planet that has an evil leader." A small smirk appeared on the ambassador's heavily bearded face, and Tanchi knew the humans had plotted with the Nu. He tore out his fangs and snarled a bloody warning. The human guards drew their lasers. "It's too late." Yorba jumped up and stretched his arm to hold them back. "Her life is nearly gone. Let me see to him." The ambassador must have translated the truth. The soldiers did not shoot, only kept their weapons trained. Tanchi returned to feeding and shuddered as the final gasp of the life force hit. He removed his fangs and for a brief moment rested his bloodied hips against the dead woman's cheek. He lowered her to the floor and smoothed her hair. "She's taken my cold," he said. "We wish a blanket to put around her." "She has no need of anything, esteemed Excellency," Yorba said. He squatted down beside him. "She's dead. Do you understand?" "Yes." Tanchi gave him a satisfied smile. He glanced down at the blood, dried and fresh, saturating the front of his white robe. His forehead wrinkled in bewilderment. "We're unclean. These aren't our clothes." Tanchi scrutinized the group at the door. "Please rise, our precious wife and our faithful soldiers. Where's Hero? We wish his help." "Your imperial aide is dead," Yorba said. "Don't you remember the attack, the guards seizing us?" Kukias asked. "Hero was lying on the carpet," Tanchi said. "That's right. Daku murdered him with a stake through his heart." Tanchi stood up and sent Kukia a worried frown. "Did they hurt you?" "My poor love," Kukia said. She grasped his hands. "Oh, your hands are so warm in this cold room." She strained to smile. "I'm fine. The baby's fine. The humans in the shuttle rescued me. The Nu had chained me to a pole in that desolate place to wait for the sun and..." Kukia paused. "You..." Tanchi stared at an invisible spot on the metal floor. "So silent, my ears pounded. I thought I heard you cry in the dark. I crawled in the black, but you weren't there. Only the funeral urns. I couldn't find you." Tanchi shuddered. "Only darkness and emptiness." Kukia threw her arms around him. He embraced her and buried his face in her hair. She smelt of roses and alien perfume. The swell of the new life inside her pressed against him. He remembered the alien ship and why he had entered it. He wanted her. He wanted the child. He wanted their life as part of him forever. Tanchi's mouth slipped down to her fragrant neck. Yorba roughly pulled them apart. Kukia sent Yorba a look of surprise. He shook his head at her and motioned her back. "You're not yourself yet, Excellency," he said. "It's time to leave. The military will look after you." "We don't understand. Your father and grandfather are dead, and your grandmother. Mother Ume's safe," Kukuya said. She bit her lip. As for the woman you killed, the clan heads decided that humans are people and deposed you. You've drunk the blood of the innocent. You're shunned, Painon. Not even the title of Johau, Maru's Kuwong, to stop the fighting between Clan Nu and Clan Vershant. We wish to see our son, Tanchi said. It's not a good idea for you to see the Kuwong, your son, Yorba said. You're coming with me. You're replacing Hero? Tanchi's confusion grew. You're part of the military now. Many Painon have made a good life for themselves in the military. We understand blood madness, Yorba said. Murasaki is regent, Kukie said. Father and grandfather won't stand for that. The Zhao Haoyin are dead, Excellency, Yorba said. He gave a deep sigh. Murasaki has what she's always wanted and more, Kukie said. You know she's burned forever that you divorced her. She's a bitch, not respectful at all, threw things at us. Tanchi smiled, blood on his lips and teeth. You never shouted us. We love you. He stepped towards her. Yorba grabbed his arm and held him back. Tanchi's foot nudged the body of the woman. He glanced down. The wonder of her blood drained away. Oh, great goddess Menendek, what have we done? This isn't your fault, Yorba said. We want another, Tanchi whispered. We crave it. I know, Yorba said. We'll help you. He grinned. You'll soon be back to sucking on ganos and blood fruit, not a care in the world. And Herod came forward with the blanket and covered the stained robe. You exist. I'm your wife. I don't care what they say. I'll never forget you. I love you, Kukie said. She laid a hand on her belly. No one will stop me telling our child about its real father. And Herod put an arm around Kukie. Kukie shrugged her off. Leave me alone, she glared at Yorba. The military betrays its friends. I'm sorry for our failure, Yorba said. Then commit seppuku. My lady, I long to, but it's my duty to look after your ex-husband. Traitor. Kukie turned her back to him. Her shoulders shook. I want this murderer cuffed, the human captain said. Security is watching every step you take to your ship. They have orders to shoot. Reimer gloated as he translated. I won't have Menendek terrorizing my ship. You've told me a lot of supposed truths. I prefer to trust my eyes. A human soldier stepped forward with manacles. I understand, the paladin said. No more than I would do myself. He took the cuffs from the soldier, then turned to Tanchi. I'm sorry, Excellency. The humans insist. Tanchi held out his wrists. Yorba snapped the manacles shut. Tanchi stared down at them, his mind clear. We're cast out, he said. We're destroyed.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
I want to hear the next chapter, but...
Sorry, you have to wait till next week.
Sorry, you'll have to tune in next week.
Yeah.
But what a good start to a book, eh?
Good.
Part about the little movement under her gown made me think of when I was pregnant with the kids.
Oh, yeah, wow. And he wants to, like, have them feed on them. Yeah, yeah. Blood madness is not a good thing.
No. So why don't you, what is this blood madness?
These vampires, they normally feed on animals. They're on a planet where there are no humans. They have their own planet. The military will feed on each other and on people that are criminals. Mm. But the regular person never has even heard of a human. So if they go too long without eating, instead of having a Snickers bar when they're hangry, they want to eat someone.
Okay, that makes sense. Like, there's no snacks, I guess.
No. Well, if they're just a normal vampire on this planet, they would just, you know, eat a bunch of ganos or blood fruit or some chimpanzees or something, and they'd be okay.
Okay. Well, that was an excellent start to the Emperor Blood novel.
Thank you.
And we will have another chapter for you next week. And I'd like to mention we stream video games live.
Yes.
On twitch.tv/gamersillogical, facebook.com/gamersillogical, and our Twitter account is @gamersillogical. We also have a Forgotten Fantasy Facebook page, which is facebook.com/forgottenfantasy. And our podcasts are also on YouTube, and it's got a darkened screen so that you can listen to the story while you drift off to sleep.
Assuming, of course, as we move along, that you want and can drift off to sleep.
Exactly. And so we also set up a Patreon page.
Good.
And if you really like our stories and our books, one of the perks of being a patron is that you get a digital copy of the story that's being showcased on the podcast.
Yes.
So if you just can't wait another week and you absolutely have to have that story now, you need to know what's going to happen next right away. You go on over to our Patreon page and you'll be able to get a digital copy of the book if you become a patron.
Yeah. And also we will also be setting up a part of the podcast so that you can just read the book, listen to the book chapter after chapter without us nattering away as well.
Exactly. Yes. Patrons also get other perks like early access.
And eventually we'll have a Q&A and you can talk to me about
Q&A.
What about Menendik and the world that they all live in?
We'd like to do a Q&A video every month.
Yeah.
That will be on our Forgotten Fantasy
But we'll get into the book first. Maybe finish part one, and then we can chat about the planet and the various scientific, with quotation marks, things like the wormholes that they all travel through and stuff.
So yeah, so drop a comment on our the Forgotten Fantasy Facebook page if you have any questions, and we'll address it in our monthly Q&A session. So thank you all for listening, and I hope you all have a good day. And as always, take care.
Keep well.
And good health. Bye-bye now.